Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This question is from Joe Ostrowski at 670 to score.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
That Ostrowski?
Joe Ostrowski, nights on 670 the score.
Another four-hour show. Yeah, you're stuck with me all week. Next week, too. Going to be here a while. I think Thursday we'll get some official news. So was it last week we were celebrating what the NHL was announcing, even though there were no dates attached? It sounds like, as far as the NBA goes, that we're going to have some dates attached to everything. And we'll have some sort of announcement coming out on Thursday. So that would be exciting. They're expecting it to be a unanimous vote for this 22-team format. Resume play July 31st. Woj had some details about an hour or so ago that the last possible date for the NBA Finals would be on October 12th. So think about that, right? As bad as things are right now in many aspects, think about September, maybe, NFL season starting, the heart of the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, Major League Baseball playoffs, maybe? Maybe college football? So we're going to go all this time, 4 or 5 months, whatever it is, without any sports, and then we're just going to have everything in our face in September. That's the hope, right? Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670 The Score. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate the McNeil and Parkin Show for bringing back a portion of the conversation that I had last night around this time with Herb Lawrence and Tony Gill. And I appreciate all the reaction that I've received. And I also appreciate all the people in my mentions that want to politicize everything, that they just still, years and years after Colin Kaepernick, they're not understanding what the issue is here. Like, it just because maybe your favorite cable network or because a radio or television host can make 7-8 figures choosing one side of the aisle and attacking the other, it doesn't mean that's what we're doing here. Is it really that hard to figure out that what we're talking about is human rights? And we're going to continue to talk about it when the Bears release a statement, or we see what Jonathan Toews had to say, Tim Anderson, Lucas Giolito, go up and down the line in our own city. So if that bothers you, if it's too much for you to handle, because, yeah, it intersects with sports, and we are doing sports. But I joked on Twitter last night, yeah, we're transitioning over to the pro-human/sports format because people want the sports. Well, you still get that here just because we're dealing with what's going on in the real. See, that's the problem. That's the entire point of the conversation we've been having over the last week, much of us. And I'll admit that I didn't have it early enough. That's the problem. Living in this 24-hour news cycle that we'll talk about it for 24 hours, okay, what's next? Time to move on. So there will be some of that, and if that bothers you, I'm sorry. Keep it moving. Don't care. We're really not going to miss you. You can get your sports somewhere else then if that bothers you, even though this is sports too. Tom Ricketts. Is he crying poor again? So we've heard this from him before. Now, that's a specific statement. I'll share it with you in just a moment. But we've heard, I'm out of money. Hands up. No more money, guys. Can't do it. Got nothing. well, we were able to get Kimbrel only because Zobrist was dealing with his personal issues. Jesse Rogers, with an exclusive here, he spoke with Tom Ricketts today. Here's Ricketts. Here's something I hope baseball fans understand. Most baseball owners don't take money out of their team. They raise all the revenue they can from tickets and media rights, and they take out their expenses, and they give all the money left to their GM to spend. The league itself does not make a lot of cash. I think there is a perception that we hoard cash and we take money out and it's all sitting in a pile we've collected over the years. Well, it isn't, because no one anticipated a pandemic. No one expects to have a drawdown on the reserves from the past. Every team has to figure out a way to plug the hole. The scale of losses across the league is biblical. The timing of the work stoppage, the inability to play, was right before the season started. We're looking at 30 teams with zero revenue. To cover the losses, all teams have gone out and borrowed. There's no other way to do it in the short run. In the long run, we may be able to sell equity to cover some of our losses, but that's in the long run. Who would invest at the moment? Throughout this process, they will be able to from Boris, referencing what Boris had to say about Ricketts. And so that's Tom Ricketts today with Jesse Rogers of ESPN. The league itself does not make a lot of cash. Biblical. Yeah, Tom, we understand. I would say most people listening right now to this station are feeling it. But come on. What's the purpose there? What are we doing? Read the room just a little bit. And yeah, you're going to have games probably, and there won't be any fans there. And he's gone out and said 70% of their revenue. Okay. I'm waiting. You can open the books or not. You're going to show us? The problem with the timing of this in a pivotal week in these negotiations is it comes off like Ricketts is trying to win in the court of public opinion. But when you start to look at the numbers, it feels like there's a major disconnect, right? And I heard Danny Parkins give out a few of these, and I just want to hammer it home. Because I think the investment has gone almost 5x in 11 years. So the Ricketts bought the Cubs in Wrigley for $700 million in 2009. And they also paid $145 million for the Tribune and the Tribune's 25% stake in Comcast Sportsnet Chicago. Now, according to Forbes, it doesn't mean they can go out today and make this, but Forbes is estimating that going into the 2020 season that the Cubs were worth $3.2 billion. $700 million they paid in 2009. In 2020, we're talking about $3.2 billion. You got to be careful. You don't want to make people think that you're crying poor at these times as you have Hotel Zachary, as you're starting the Marquee Network, as you're scooping up all these rooftops, as you're owning the entire Clark and Addison area over there. Because that's how it comes off. Not the time, Tom. People don't want to hear it. And sure, nobody saw this coming, and you mistimed the Marquee Network. Rob Manfred, worst commissioner in all of sports, he's going on record, and he's saying Major League Baseball is going to lose $4 billion. We're all losing. Anybody not losing? Anybody? Isn't everyone feeling the effects here? So, let's not do that. Because we don't even know that there's going to be baseball right now. Now, I think there will be, but we don't know for sure. But how do you take that? When Ricketts comes out there today and says, I need baseball fans to understand this. Most baseball owners don't take money out of their team. So you don't want to speak for Major League Baseball, of all sports, because we see, look at some of the teams at the very bottom, what they are not spending. I mean, most teams could afford every free agent out there. Are we including the money from Advance Media? Are we talking about that? See, that's part of the problem here. Is they don't want to explain all of that to us. And that's why there are so many issues going on in these negotiations, even though I think that they will get somewhere. But everybody's losing money. Every business is losing money. So didn't care to see that. And I don't think anybody cared to hear what Pete Ricketts has had to say over the last couple of days. We have open phone lines, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Now, to tie this in a little bit, because Tom Ricketts is talking about how much money the Cubs and all of these owners are going to lose, and, well, all these teams reinvest their money. Okay, still waiting for some proof on that. 26 hours later, and nowadays we take headlines and we run with them. I think there's been a little miscommunication here. The devil is in the details. Maybe pay attention to everything that's out there. So this talk of a 50-game season, yeah, that was floated out there. But let's stress, that is not a proposal. You turn on the TV today, and they're talking about a 50 to 60-game proposal. Where's the proposal? That's not a proposal. The most important part of this is the 50-game season. The idea of 50 to 60 games is a last-ditch effort. That'd be the last thing. And I'm sure part of the reason we're talking about 50 to 60 games is because the negotiations would be carrying on for so long. There was no way that they could even start baseball by the beginning of July. But if we compare all of these proposals, and again, the last-ditch offer, not a proposal. It's just something, worst comes to worst, this is what they're going to do. And that's the way that they can salvage some sort of a season. But I don't think that's the direction we're going. So the first one from the owners is 82 games, okay? Postseason expansion of 10 to 14 teams, 50-50 revenue split. We know at some point that that was dropped because there's no way the players are going for that. And over the weekend, we saw the reports that the players are asking for 114 games. Let's take the regular season through October, and it will be playoff baseball in November instead of October. Yeah, the owners aren't going to go for that, and they know that. And the players still asking for those full prorated salaries. But they did agree. Here's some compromise. What the players asked for, they also said, okay, 2 years, we'll give you the extra teams in the playoffs. We'll have 14 teams. So we are moving closer to something. It's just not happening in the timely fashion that we want it to happen. And the players also caved on wearing mics and other broadcast enhancements, which would be great for the broadcast. An off-season all-star game, home run derby. So I do think we're getting somewhere. And in that last-ditch effort, the most notable part is that with those 50, 60 games, full prorated salaries, because we know that's the sticking point. So at least we're taking steps forward here. Okay, we're going to have 14 teams in the playoffs, you would think. And you're not going to have the revenue split. See, what's most important to each side? That's what they're trying to figure out. Now, it looks like on the player side, what they care about the most is the prorated salaries. And on the owner side, they want to crown a champion. Got to get the playoffs in. Give us our full month of the playoffs. And then we'll end up crowning a champion. That's where the most revenue is going to come from. From all of those TV dollars. Now, when you step back and look at 50 games, what's amazing is, yeah, I mean, not even a sprint. Less than a third of the season, if it gets to that point. Now, if the season had started on time, if you're looking at the Cubs schedule, they would have hit the 50-game mark 13 days ago on May 20th, a game against the Pirates. 62 games would be today. So even though it may look like, okay, things are getting worse, they're at 82, but now they went back to 50. No, they didn't go back to 50. That wasn't a proposal. So I'm still optimistic that something gets done, because it looks like all signs point to on Thursday, something getting passed with the NBA owners. The NHL has their plan in place. NBA will. It feels like they already do, because all the details are out there. And if you just take a look at 22 to 30 teams, that's almost enough to pass the thing. So it's going to pass. Adam Silver wants it. It's going to happen. The players are for it. It's going to happen. And the Bulls, one of those eight teams that will not be participating. So the Bulls will not be playing a game in over 9 months. But I don't know that that's really a concern, because everything's going to be a fresh start and there's going to be a new head coach over there. But even though Manfred is the worst commissioner out there, and I don't think it's even close. I want to go over that in just a moment. It's not even close. I still think we're going to get baseball. And there are reasons to believe that it's going to happen. Maybe it doesn't happen this week. But at times we were talking about a June 10th hard deadline. Remember June 10th? People were talking about spring training. That's next Wednesday. So maybe it won't be there for you at the beginning of July like you were hoping, but there's going to be some semblance of a baseball season. I'm not going to be one of those complaining, oh, 50, 60 games, 70 games, that's not enough. I mean, look at where we are right now. It's not like there are any of the four major sports going on today. Chicago's not even open yet. Tomorrow's the big day for Chicago. Apparently Mayor Lightfoot will be speaking in about 10 minutes. So if you want to jump in on what Ricketts had to say, or the likelihood of a baseball season, phone lines are open, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. I want to get to Rob Manfred's role next, and also we'll hear from John Heyman on This Morning with Mullion Haw, going a little bit more in detail about these negotiations. That's next. You've got Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670, The Score, and the Radio.com app.
I have to say I made one mistake.
No. More than one. Commissioner of Baseball, Rob Manfred. Joe Ostrowski here, Sports Radio 670, The Score. I was talking with my producer, Jordan Malley, during the break. Jordan, I think your dad's my age. I'm getting this feeling as I keep picking up more hints from what's going on in your life. And we had a guest last week. It's really cool if you missed it. Can you remind me of his name, Jordan?
Bill Shea from The Athletic.
Bill Shea from The Athletic. And he wrote a really cool story because it resonated with me, a man in my young 40s. And there was a time in my life when I was obsessed with sports cards, mostly baseball, but when I was moving some stuff, I realized that, oh, wait, I was collecting NBA, NHL, just about every sport for about a couple of years, but mostly baseball throughout my life. And those are the cards that were handed down to me from my father and my uncles. But you had just mentioned to me that you got sets from, you and your brother got sets from the years that you were born, which was 1994. Is your dad older than me, or
yes,
is he my age?
Yeah, my dad was born in the late 50s.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait a second.
Now he had a huge surge though in his life.
Cards.
He had a huge surge in his life for whatever reason, where he started collecting baseball cards and memorabilia and all of this, and it went on for probably, I don't know, 5 or 6, 7 years. And then he forgot about it, and a lot of it was just sitting in our storage. So I finally pulled it out and looked through it for the first time, where I knew it was actually worth something. And some of the stuff, man, that I found was ridiculous. Rookie cards that are now worth a couple $100 in perfect condition, just binders and binders full of cards.
This is 90s?
Early 90s, some late 80s stuff. I mean, we found 3 Michael Jordan cards. One was a rookie card of his baseball card. that's going for a couple hundred bucks right now. I mean, just stuff that I didn't even, I was like, oh, I don't think you have that part of the set. Manny Ramirez was there, rookie cards, just it blew my mind, and I'm only halfway through.
I mean, that's my wheelhouse, late 80s, early 90s. I see, after the show, I'm going to go and check that out to see what I have. But since our conversation with Bill Shea from The Athletic about his story and what it was he talked about how the sport card business collapsed, and now it's building itself back up. They learned some lessons, and now there are only a few companies. If you're around my age, you'll remember that there were countless amount of baseball cards out there you could buy, and there were so many different levels. Off the top of your head, you start thinking about it and naming Topps, Donruss, Fleer, Leaf, Upper Deck, Bowman. You can just go on and on and quickly get to double digits, and that's something that they did learn. And I've been thinking about it nonstop, Jordan. And part of it is because I guess I don't have sports betting. Like, that's usually kind of my hobby involved with sports. That's been taken away from me. That I have thought about buying some, baseball would be the sport I get into. Maybe more NBA, because it seems like that's more popular nowadays, or even NFL. But man, I kept thinking about that Willy Wonka type Zion Williamson card, which is worth $100,000. It's autographed, and there's only one of them.
I'm happy to report to you, Joe, that I actually hit four Walmarts in very west of Illinois yesterday.
Wait, what?
So I went.
Be careful when you go on the air and say you hit four Walmarts.
I went to four Walmarts, drove to four different Walmarts, and was in search of these basketball cards, and they're sold out.
Which brand?
Everywhere. Panini is one of them. One of the main brands, though, actually comes from China, and they only do certain releases, and they're only shipped out on certain days. And I talked to one of the guys, and he said, yeah, man, if you're looking for cards, guys are usually here when we open at 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. when shipments are in. So they were all gone. I picked up some baseball cards, and I picked up some last year's model NFL cards that were playoff cards. Man, I went through those. I spent $60, and I probably have $300 worth of cards right now.
How did I not know this was happening?
It's a boom.
I had no idea that there was a sports card boom going on. No clue. I think it's because my son's a little bit too young, and he's into Pokemon cards, and he's 7, so I guess that makes sense, even though I missed Pokemon. I wasn't in on that. I think I was just a little bit too old when that was the craze. But yeah, I had no idea that this was going on, and sports cards were coming back. And Panini, I had never heard of that company until a week or so ago.
They're making a big surge back, I think, because they're signing a lot of the rookies. Like, I saw Wendell Carter Jr. had a deal with them. Kobe White just had a deal with them. So they're getting heavy back into basketball, and they're signing a lot of people to do some of these things where you autograph cards and you put them in boxes. And I thought it was interesting, too, that Bill Shea said that they were reeling back on the amount of cards that they were putting out there.
Yeah.
And that's making it more valuable. So people are picking up on it.
I was thinking about that because I saw that you can buy them by packs or by single cards on Amazon, because Amazon has everything now. Is Walmart the main place that carries a lot of these cards?
For the basketball,
I wouldn't even know where to go.
For basketball, yes, but baseball is found in a bunch of different places. And I found out, too, doing a little bit more research yesterday, that certain stores have limited edition releases, which make them more valuable. So, like, Meijer has their certain editions that are released. CVS has their certains that are released. Walmart has their own. And then there's a bunch that go just to a bunch of different retail stores. So I guess they're more common. You can find them. It's just a matter of where in the store. Like Walmart, I spent the first, I don't know, half hour walking around trying to figure out where they were.
A texter from the 630 says the Jordan baseball rookie is not worth a couple hundred bucks. Hate to be the bearer of bad news. For the most part, late 80s, early 90s isn't very valuable. Well, I do have a bunch from 50s, no, more so 60s, I'd say. A few from the 50s that were handed down to me.
Those are super valuable right now.
Well, yeah. I don't know how many are in mint condition, though.
Even if you can get a grade on it of a 7 or an 8, and see, that's the biggest thing is...
I don't even know this world. How do you get a grade of a 7 or 8? Where do you go for this?
So Beckett's one of the biggest places that does grades, and so you send out cards, and I was looking it up. I think it's about $25 or $30 to grade a card. Send them out in bulk, it's cheaper, but essentially they take a look at the card that you have and it adds more value. So a card like a Jordan card, for example, that's a rookie in baseball, depending on the card that you have, if you're selling it ungraded, it's going to be worth far less value than if it is graded. If a card like that is
graded... So you're all in on this.
Yes. I've done a ton of research already. I was hooked. After reading that article and just... one of my buddies had started getting back into it and just going through all of this stuff, brought nostalgia back, but I think there might be some money in it too.
That'd be fun. Not a bad investment. Not bad at all. Especially now with the way that the NBA is just such a superstar league. Like, there's probably a handful of guys that you really want cards from. And then the rest. I mean, when you're a kid, it was just like, you knew every player and you knew all the stats and it was a little bit different. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go through that. That'll be a lot of fun. That'll be good. 312-644-6767. 815, they have a mint condition Upper Deck Griffey Jr. I have that card. I have a bunch of pages of Griffey's, including multiple rookies. I know exactly what card he's talking about.
Is it a diagonal Seattle Mariners where he's sliding?
No, I'm pretty sure the one he's talking about is Griffey just posing for the camera, holding a bat. He's got the blue Mariners hat pretty high up on his head. No, I don't know if I have a White Sox Griffey, though. Sorry, Jordan.
Dang, I do have a White Sox Griffey jersey if anybody out there wants it still.
Do you still have jerseys? Do you still get them?
Oh, I don't anymore. I think high school is the last one I got. But I have a Land of Misfit White Sox jerseys.
Well, maybe you could wear it again at some point this summer. Joe Ostrowski with you, 670 The Score. I promised John Heyman, and I want to get to Rob Manfred as well, what's not going on in baseball right now. And, you know, if you're one of those people that say, I don't think baseball is going to return, I kind of understand when you look at the leadership of one Rob Manfred. But let's take a listen to John Heyman. Here's a few minutes of him on the Mully and Haw Show this morning discussing the negotiations and this idea of 50 games. Heyman makes it clear, not a proposal.
Okay, first of all, let me say that I do think we will have an agreement at some point here and we will have a season. I can't believe, and I'm just doing this based on my belief, I just know that both sides know that there is way too much to lose to blow this up over money. And the fans forgave last time eventually after the 94 lockout strike, whatever you want to call it, work stoppage. I'm not sure they'd be forgiving this time. It would not make any sense to do this during a pandemic. They have to figure it out. So I see people writing there will be a season. I think they're taking a little bit of a chance. I do think there will be a season. That said, things are not going well in the negotiations. As you alluded to, MLB made a proposal with some drastic cuts on the expensive players, on the high salary players, the star players. And then the players came back and actually moved the ball in the other direction and asked for more games and all the prorated pay and all that. So both sides were very unhappy with the other side's first offer. That said, it's the first offer. I will point out that the soft deadline for a deal, which was yesterday, is already in the rearview mirror. So the time is short. There is no hard deadline yet, but presumably it's got to be around June 10th because that's when you wanted to start the spring training for a July 4th start of the season. So right now we're getting off to an extremely, extremely slow start.
John, Rob Manfred has an obligation or maybe a right to deliver a season, a schedule. I think the language says calls for it in good faith because to give it some legitimacy. And I think when everybody was concerned about the health and safety issues as the primary potential obstacle in the way of getting that season underway, you felt like, okay, 50 games, whatever they need to do, as long as they crown a champion, we'll feel good about it. Now it feels like a financial move. Like, okay, there are financial considerations why it would be 50 games. And it would seem to kind of lessen the legitimacy of a champion if you can play 82 games or if you can play 100 and people are willing to accept the health and safety risks that are inherent in that. So where do they meet in the middle? Is it back to an 82-game season? Because how does this 50-game proposal strike you? Do you think that it would be a legitimate season?
Yeah, I mean, very good question, David. You know, First of all, the report of the 50-game proposal was a bit of an exaggeration. There actually is not a proposal of 50 games. Right now, we just stand, with the owners offering the 82 games with pay cuts and the players asking for 114 games with the prorated pay that is mentioned but not guaranteed in the March 26th agreement. That came out, the 50 game, as we have come to call it from yesterday, the proposal. It's not a proposal. It's just the noting of the owner's side that Rob Manfred has the ability, based on that agreement, to start a season of any length at prorated. So he could do that, but that's more of a tactic, a negotiating tactic at this time. I'm not sure it's going to mean anything. He's not going to do that. Maybe 10 days from now, he might consider it more seriously, but I think that's just to point out to the players that he can do this. That would just start a war if he did that, to say we're going to play 50 games and that's all you're going to get paid. MLB wants to negotiate a deal. They want the players to be happy with the deal. And, so the negotiation continues. There isn't that proposal. Two reasons that wouldn't fly is, you're right, the legitimacy would be questioned. But the bigger reason is the players would be so upset. They not only have a dispute, they'd actually be at war with the MLB at that point.
Yeah, 50 to 60 game season, it's a headline grabber, not a proposal. So that's key to remember right now. And it's a tactic by Rob Manfred. Okay, great. That's what he does with everything. Oh, I don't know what to do about this. Let me float it out there and see how people react. This guy cannot make a decision to save his damn life. Okay, sorry. I think he's the worst. He's by far the worst. He's worse than Bettman now. Think about that. He is worse than Gary Bettman. Buster Olney had a piece over the weekend, and he said there are a group of owners that would be fine just sitting out the entire year. They'd be fine with that. Here's Heyman with Mullion Haw on owners that maybe don't want to play baseball in 2020.
I believe there's probably an owner or two that is willing to give up the season. Look at what Oakland's done with its players. I would guess Oakland probably would be in favor of that. They run a very, very tight ship, shall we say, and I think tight is a nice word there. They have not just released the players, they've actually are not paying the players while keeping them on the payroll, which they get nothing of. So, I mean, they're eligible to do that. To me, that's terrible. Now, a couple of players are saying, well, we still get benefits, so it's better than being released. But I just think that's unfair. That's one of minor league contract, they can do whatever they want. So I believe that there's Oakland and maybe a couple other teams, but it takes eight teams to not ratify an agreement. Are there eight teams that are really not interested in the season? I don't believe that. So putting that aside, Scott Boras took aim at the Yankees. They were upset. They disputed some of the things that were said in his letter to his players. Some of the other teams were not thrilled with different things that he said, but I would say the best point for the player side and Mr. Boras to make is that the owners have made a lot of money. And when I say that, I exclude Miami. Miami lost money last year. I do believe that, according to Forbes, and I think that's right. Kansas City, which has handled things magnificently, has a new owner, so he has not made any profit yet, and he bought at the wrong time. So he's going to be taking a loss, at least in the short term. But I do believe the other teams have made money, and not only that, the franchises have gone up in some cases many fold. Let's not forget, Arnie Moreno bought the Angels for something like $200 million. Milwaukee was bought for $150 million. Baltimore, Cleveland, also in that range, $150 million. These teams are all, despite the fact that the values have probably gone down this year, they're all worth $1 billion plus. The Angels case, $2 billion plus. I do generally agree with the players in saying that you can't privatize the gains and then socialize the losses. And what that means is, know, every year you make big gains, you don't then share the extra gains with the players, and then you have one terrible year. And I think the owners will lose money this year, however it goes, whether they play or don't play, whatever deals come to, they are going to lose money. But you can't then just say, I've made money for 17 straight years or however many years, and everything's been great, and now we have a bad year, and the players need to share in the losses. So I think that is a overall general good argument for the players. As to the specifics of the Cubs, the Yankees, and all these other things, you know, obviously Scott Boras isn't privy to all of the information. The books are not open. He may be wrong on some points, but generally speaking, the Cubs have made a windfall with that investment. And, you know, I mean, they took the chance. They are the entrepreneur. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, this year they're going to take a loss, and, you know, they're going to have to accept taking a loss.
Oh, and Tom Ricketts will tell you all about the loss that they're going to be taking over at Clark and Addison. That was MLB Insider John Heyman with Mullion Hall this morning on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And John will be the first to tell you, keep in mind, that he is employed by MLB Network. He thinks there's going to be a deal, and I agree with him, that they're going to get some sort of a deal done. And even though it seems like the two sides are very far apart, they are moving forward on a few things, including the playoffs. And the message sent from Major League Baseball is, okay, you want full prorated salaries. How bad do you want them? Do you want them only for 50 games? Because that's how you're going to get them. So a lot of garbage coming out from Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred, and that should be a surprise to absolutely no one. Some news this evening coming out of the NFL. Here's Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network. In addition to training camps being conducted only at club facilities, unless not feasible, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell informed clubs tonight that to mitigate exposure risks, the league and union have agreed no joint practices. You may recall that the Bears and Broncos did have a joint practice scheduled. Bears do this, it feels like, on a yearly basis with some team. So that's not happening. No Bears-Broncos joint practices. And I guess the Bears are ahead of the curve because they were moving from Bourbonnais to Hallis Hall with a big expansion. So no real impact there. If you were worried about not seeing any Bears practices, well, last year was probably your last shot anyways, even though the Bears have said, oh, we'll still have limited access. Okay, I'll believe it when I see it. Doesn't sound like it's going to happen this year. Here's more from Pelissero. Goodell's memo to clubs noted the NFLPA was strongly in favor of these steps, which are being taken for the 2020 preseason to address current conditions and are not expected to be in place for 2021. Okay, great. That's a pointless conversation. We don't even know what the fall is going to look like, but we're going to have conversations about what's going to be in place and what's not going to be in place for 2021. Who knows? But yeah, the hope there is a vaccine. I assume that that's the reason that they wanted that out there. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. As other sports leagues are stepping up, there is one that is absent. It's the one that has no plan, that has no direction. I'll give you the details on that next. Joe Osho, 670, The Score. All right, I keep learning about the sports card industry, and I'm actually kind of loving it. So the 331 texter, and by the way, remember, you can text and call the same number, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Texter Grady, I guess, so on these YouTube and Facebook pages, and I assume maybe on Twitch nowadays, people are having NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, all these sports, box openings, like on video live ones, and people watch this?
Is that right, Jordan? Facebook groups are invite only too, so you have to know somebody that's already in the group in order to get invited.
Okay, so Grady says he was watching a Panini NFL box opening, really cool cards, with pieces of the jersey. So there are pieces of the jersey in a pack of cards now, and it's not a stick of a dried up bubble gum with absolutely no flavor. It's now pieces of jerseys they're sending.
Yeah, so if you, I'll try to send you a picture, but they're like about a 1-inch by 1-inch square, and they put it with inside the card.
How do you know it's really, how do you know it's authentic?
It's a good question. I mean, I would assume that all of it is authentic, but think about how many jersey pieces you could cut off of just one jersey and put in cards. Probably hundreds.
Is that cool? Like getting a piece of a jersey?
Depends on the player, I guess, and depends maybe on the moment. Some of the cards are moment cards, so it depends on when they wore that specific jersey.
They're game worn, all of them.
Correct.
That's kind of cool.
So there's a Kevin Durant one on eBay that's going for a ton of money because the cut of the jersey is actually the NBA logo inside the card.
Dude, you got way deep in this.
I was curious.
You're in.
I was like, I couldn't believe how much money they were going for. And I was like, all because of the different pieces of the jersey, depending on what it is. There's a market for everything out there, I guess.
So, you know, we can actually tie this in. So when I was collecting cards, baseball was my sport. Love the NFL, too. We went to a lot of Bears games. Bears, baseball, 1A, 1B. When I was a kid. I mean, of course, the Jordan Bulls were up there, but I also played the most amount of baseball, so that was a part of it. I would venture to guess that the least valuable of these cards are baseball cards. Is it, of the four major sports, is that accurate, or are they third?
Depends on the year. So if you're talking about early 90s, then yeah, it's probably.
Now, what about now? I'm saying now.
Now, maybe hockey, I would say, still just because of the popularity of it. But depending on the card that you get, there's high value in a lot of the top stars.
So so Mike Trout is comparable to stars like Patrick Mahomes or Zion Williamson?
Yes, so, and depending on the card really? That you get, too. So like Trout's, depending on what card you get, say the basic Topps Trout of this year, it goes for about $5 or $6. I pulled one yesterday and I was like, oh, I bet you this is like $20-$30. And it was only about $6. But there's different levels to those Trouts and different types of Trout cards that are more valuable.
See, I think that proves my point that we're talking about the guy most of us will be saying years after he's retired, that's the best player I ever saw. And when he's playing, you're talking about cards that are worth like $6. And the packs are 10.
Right. And see,
you know
that's,
what I mean?
That's the thing is, and there's two ways to invest. A lot of what I was reading is two avenues. Either invest in packs that you can flip right away without even opening them and make two or three times your money back right away, a.k.a. the Panini Mosaic cards. I think retail, they're $40 for a box. Right now on eBay, they're going for $60 to $90.
Why would you be able to? I don't understand why would you be able to 3X that before you even open them immediately? Because they're so hard to find?
Exactly. So like the four Walmarts I went to, none of them had any of these Paninis in stock.
Huh.
So it's
You're
about
going
people who
to
go
every in, Walmart.
It's people who go out and hunt for them, and then they turn them around on eBay. The other one is investing in players, which is the most traditional way. That's the way you and I did it. It's the way that my dad did it. He invested in players, and some of it can turn around and be really good. You gotta hope you hit right. It's like betting.
Yeah. So long term, you probably waste more money investing in players as you're hoping to find guys, right?
I would say so. I think right now, if I had to inventory my dad's entire collection up against what he spent, he's probably in the plus right now. And that's just because thanks to a lot of the Jordan cards and a lot of the basketball cards from the early 90s that are now making a surge again.
Okay, with The Last Dance, have you seen anything on what the Jordan cards are going for?
Oh, and there's tons of Jordan cards out there. The most expensive one, I have a version underneath it that goes for about $100 graded. But the next level up, it's like
bad.
A pink diamond Michael Jordan in a White Sox uniform.
This is ridiculous.
It is. And there's this scripture on the side, too, that makes it distinct. And I don't know how many that they printed, but that one on eBay, I'm going to see if I can find a link of it, was going for over 1,000 a couple weeks ago.
Wow. Texter says we're butchering current card collecting. I'm not saying I'm an expert. I'm thinking about getting back into it.
And I'm a novice too. I like I said, research over like the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. I just find it fascinating that apparently the business is booming now, because this is all new to me. I had no idea. But any owner of Bitcoin or any crazy stock that goes crazy, mm-hmm. if it goes up, it's going to go down. But by the way, Bitcoin yesterday, it did crack 10,000 again yesterday. It's going to stop at some point. If you look at, it's amazing. I don't even know how I'm branching into this, but DraftKings, with all the movement they're doing, last week they announced that they're going to have an app. They will stream live games, and you'll be able to bet on it. They're going to have sports books in most states. I think they're going to have one in Illinois eventually, so they're going to have the same app for that. They're doing a bunch of different stuff. Their stock has gone crazy over the last month, and that's without any sports betting. We have no sports to bet on, and these stocks of sports books are just going wild over the last couple of weeks. Just wild. See, I didn't even have time to rip Rob Manfred. We've got all night, though. We've got all night to do that. Coming up next, a conversation I had with Adam Amin, the brand new TV voice of the Bulls. I had this conversation with him in late 2016 with a little rinky-dink sports betting podcast that I was doing in those days. And a lot of the things I asked him can relate to today. And him kind of landing his dream job, if you ask him. It was fun to listen back. And I think you guys will enjoy this conversation as well. And being a local guy growing up here, his favorite broadcasters growing up, what is his dream job, and some experiences from the early portion of his ESPN career. I'm going to bring you that conversation next. You've got Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score and the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.